good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hi there, welcome to episode 7 of Blessing of Frost. My name is Kern, and with me, as always, is Magic. How are you doing today, buddy?
I am doing wonderfully, excited for another great podcast. How about yourself?
I am similarly excited because I think that this will be a fantastic podcast because, and no pressure here, our special guest today is Fugara. She is the Guildmaster of Choice of Skywall. She's actually my former Guildmaster, and I'm really excited that she accepted at, you know, the very last minute to come here and do the show with us this evening. So, Fug, welcome. Thank you for showing up, and how are you doing today?
Thank you, and you're welcome. I'm doing okay. Hanging in there. Lots of work.
Yeah, I hear you.
As I say, stories from one guildmaster to another, work and toiling of raid creation.
Oh god, yeah. I think I speak for Fug and myself and like every other guildmaster right now saying, god, this is a lot of work. And maybe we were sort of expecting a lot of work, but boy, it just kind of wears you down, right?
You definitely realize how stressful it is once new expansions come out. It's a lot of work to get people going and to make sure you have everything you need. A lot of work. No
definitely.
Sleep.
Yeah, sleep? What's that?
Who needs it?
It's
I do. I'm very lucky not to have a real life job, so this is my real life job. I have a lot of time on my hands in which to handle a lot of this stuff.
Excellent. Ditto at the moment. I don't think I would be able to, you know, take this on if I were, you know, currently employed. So I'm really glad for once that I'm actually not employed at the moment and just doing some contract stuff.
It does help to have awesome officers in which to help you take a little bit of the alleviation off you.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I am awesome.
And here I was thinking, gee, yeah, it's great to have Dar and Toga and
Fog.
Yeah, and Fog. And yeah. Indeed.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Your modesty is great.
I do what I can. That'll move us on over to Lore Master. Kern, did you have anything exciting happen this week?
You know, I was trying to figure out what exactly it was I did this week, and I can't actually remember.
Is that good or bad? I'm kind of concerned now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I know I raided. I raided 3 times. I know I didn't really touch the alts. I didn't go herbing. I didn't go questing. I didn't do any of that stuff. I barely ran dungeons as it is, like even on Madrana or Kern. So basically raiding, I did some dailies. I did, and this is the exciting part for me, I took Friday off.
Of
Friday.
Oh my goodness.
Off. Yeah.
No
and,
way.
I actually had dinner with a real life friend, if you can imagine.
I can't.
That's, I know.
All that has to be said about that.
It's shocking. I don't think I even logged in on Friday. It was great. I did spend a lot of time evaluating all of my healers. That's something that I really wanted to do because I felt like I hadn't really been present in the raids for the healers and be able to give them accurate, good feedback in the moment. And that was something that I had kind of anticipated being able to do. But, you know, raid leading is, I'm a little out of practice. So I think we're sort of gelling as a team and I'll be able to eventually give that sort of feedback more accurately, like in the moment. But I haven't been able to do that yet. So I really wanted to get in touch with the healers and be like, okay, so this is what, you know, I've seen. This is good. This is good. This is, this needs work. And I basically rated them on a score of 20 with basically an extra bonus 5 points for being awesome. And I was talking about it on Twitter, actually, and some people tweeted me and they're like, wow, can we see an example? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll make one anonymous or something like that. And then I realized I really didn't want people to like see the criticism constructive as it may be, you know, for the healer. So I decided, like a champ, I guess, to evaluate myself, which
interesting.
It led to like the most existential post of my blog, like ever, where I basically had to write an evaluation about Madrana's raid performance as if I were her healing lead. And that's really awkward.
Seems like it could be.
I had to like forget why I did like a whole bunch of stuff, and like because I know that I didn't communicate to the healing channel, and so I didn't know my own motivations basically, or that's how I had to act, which was really strange. So anyway, I evaluated myself. I gave myself a 17 on 20, I think, or something like that. Maybe a 16 on 20.
Indeed, a 17.
Yeah, 17 on 20. So like, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm actually calling myself out on stuff. And what's really fun is that this was like linked by various people in the blogosphere. And so now there are new people who are going there and looking up my evaluation and looking up our logs and going, by the way, you should do this and this. And I'm like, thanks.
Yeah, there's a massive 25 comments on that post, actually.
Yeah, and I don't think I've answered more than a couple of them because I've been too busy evaluating the healers. That was interesting, to say the least. It was a neat sort of experiment to sort of make sure that I was able to call myself out on, you know, the things that I'm calling other people out on. Because I think one of the worst traits of any kind of leader is to, you know, be hypocritical about things. It's like, okay, if I tell you not to stand in fire, I'm going to do my damnedest not to stand in fire. And by golly, if I stand in fire, you will know that I stood in fire because I will cop to it. And I find it's a very poor thing to do otherwise. So,
true.
And also this week, I don't think I slept very much. I'm pretty burnt at this point, and I'm kind of really happy that we're recording a podcast and not raiding tonight. Tomorrow is a whole new raid week, and well, I guess by the time people are hearing this, today is
tonight.
Well, yeah, tonight. Tonight's a whole new raid week, so that'll be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. So
exciting.
How about you, Fug? How was your week?
My week was great. We got a lot of... We started on Wednesday, officially raiding, and we got both bosses, Blackwing Descent down. Actually, this first one, Magma, I believe his name is, got two shots.
Nice.
So that was awesome. And
that's pretty
solid.
We're
going to be working on some more bosses tonight, depending on our makeup, of course. Gotta love sign up.
Yeah, sign ups are awesome.
So doing well, rating wise.
What boss are you looking at tonight?
You know, I don't even know. That's horrible.
That's excellent.
That's always a good time. It's the excitement of not knowing yourself.
Not knowing. I think we're working on Maloriac tonight.
Maloriac, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. However you pronounce his name.
That's a fun fight. We just got that last week ourselves, and that was fun. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, we got him to 30% on our very first night trying him. So everyone learned the fight, so we shouldn't have any problems tonight.
Sweet too.
Nice. It was that fight was actually a lot of fun by the end of it, just making sure you're collapsing and doing AoEing and all that good stuff.
It's not as hard to heal as it originally looked.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think I was a little too conservative in bringing in as many healers as I did. I think I ran with like 7, and we probably could have done that easily with 6.
Yeah, we ran with 6, I believe, or you can call it 4.5.
Nice. There's that's. I mean, the healing was not as bad as that as I assume on Chimeron.
Oh God. Oh God, that
I saw your post
a little bit later.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, let me tell you.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
Yeah, Kern's tweets were interesting.
What I really like about the fact that I tweet and that like half my guild seems to tweet is that when a boss goes down, it's like, you know, 10 of us tweet at the same time, boss down, yeah! Apotheosis, it's awesome.
Twitter spam.
Yeah, seriously.
I suck at Twitter.
Yeah,
you don't
me
post
too.
Nearly enough. Yeah, Magic, you don't even have
a Twitter. I don't have a Twitter. Who does that? God.
Well, I feel like I'm only talking to you. So, I don't want to bother you. And there's not much to talk about.
Talk
you
to know, me more.
We're brain leaks, right?
This is true.
Nice. So, my week, actually, I did the same amount of raiding as you on the mage. I got some... I think I only got a new pair of bracers and maybe some other lower level badge stuff, but nothing overly exciting about that. Again, most of my excitement has come from playing the priest, which is awesome, and almost 85. I think it was maybe Saturday morning where I played for like 4 or 5 hours, maybe even more, like straight.
Wow.
Yeah. I cannot remember the last time I've actually played that consistently. Maybe, I don't even know if I did that while leveling my mage.
No, I don't think you did. I think you were distracted by, you know, real life stuff.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate time for them to release, but leveling seems to be going so much faster, and maybe it is just because I've been having more time to sit down and play, but questing and then being able to just queue up and run a dungeon whenever I want is kind of nice, and I guess that's something I was sort of lacking on the mage, is a short queue time.
Oh god, yeah. I really still feel badly for all the DPS who are stuck in like 40-minute plus queues. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, so questing in Shadow is awesome, and then being able to queue for Holy is great. And I have like picked up only Holy-related gear from quests and just vendor at this point, everything else. So I'm doing decently on money, and figuring out a rotation has been a good time for just random mobs on for Shadow form. It's been good. It's been a lot of randoms. There haven't been too many people on when I've been playing my good long times, because I seem to wake up pretty early and play.
I don't understand how you do that. Like, yeah. Granted, you don't really stay up too late. Like, by 12:30 or so, you're ready to pass out. I know this from, like, past experience. But, yeah, you're up to,
I'm
ready
up
to go
at,
like 7:30 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, just wake up and there's no one on. But that's all right. I just play again for, like, 4 or 5 hours. And so at this point, I'm 3 or 4 bars from 85. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, one more session of gaming and that should be good to go. For the most part, it's going to be arenas and battlegrounds. That's always been the most fun thing for me to play on my priest. Although I do love healing in raids as well, but just being able to go disc and bubble things and live forever is awesome. So much fun.
I vaguely recall you bringing your priest into Magtheridon at one point. That was hilarious.
I believe so. I think the first... What did we kill? Kazak and...
Yeah,
Doomwalker. Doomwalker. We killed both of those, and I was on my priest for that.
Yeah, I remember the screenshots of your horrible raid frames. Like they were all over the place. You could not see.
Yeah, my grid was literally the size of my screen. That was kind of hilarious.
Yeah, have you learned? You know, seriously.
Listen, maybe I haven't healed in too many battlegrounds since those days. I guess I've done a few, but healing multiple people in battlegrounds is more annoying than anything else. I just love going in there with like an individual person and healing them while they crush everything for you and save your life.
Fog's gonna love that.
Yeah, it is. Fog will have a good time with that in Rhett. And previously, I miss my warlock compatriot Palantir, who was always able to fear everything and live forever after running straight into a group of 6 or 7 horde. It was always a good time.
Oh, well, Pal is a special, special warlock, I gotta say.
He is.
Sick in the face damage. Like, as I recall, me and Fog on his rogue, me on Palian, Pal on the warlock, had, what, like a 1690 rating back in, like, season 2 or whatever, way back in the day.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And we actually hit, like, oh man, it was 8, I think when we got our weapons, it was like 1800 when we could get our weapons, and I still hold on to my huge-ass sweet mace to this day, because it's just awesome. Come back and let me heal you, because it's a good time.
Yeah, pal, come on back.
Yes. So, yeah, I guess that's all my news. We'll move on over to hotfix at this point. There's not really too many active changes at this point, right?
Yeah, I think most of it is patch notes for 4.0.6, and there's a lot of those. It would take us like the entire show just to go over, you know, the more salient changes that are forthcoming. So
yeah, we might as well wait and then find out what the definitive list is. Things are going to change from then anyway. So
yeah, so let's move on.
Yeah, I guess we'll save all that stuff for one big show. And yeah, that'll bring us on over to / Raid. I guess this week our exciting news is Meloriac down on 25. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed that fight.
Yeah, that fight was actually a good time. Once you get the sort of the rhythm down, it's really not that bad.
Yeah, and I really liked how we adapted. We managed to, you know, at first, we couldn't get the ads down. But then the ads would, you know, group up basically and kill the off tanks. But once we got everyone spreading out appropriately and collapsing appropriately, like that seems to be the name of the game, this expansion.
Yeah.
But once we got that done and everyone sort of in sync with each other, flawless victories. It really well done. Also, it helped that Dayton stopped DCing.
Yeah, that was unfortunate on a couple of the attempts. I mean, even on the kill attempt, I think he DC'd. But on the one before that, we got him down to 1% and then wiped.
Yeah.
And that was sad.
The heartbreaking 1% wipe on the last attempt of Tuesday night, like, that was so painful. He was down to, like, under 800,000 health. And, yeah, that...
Oh,
so,
goodness.
Yeah, I was just glad we got back in there on Thursday. And that's the first order of business is we, you know... had one wipe on him, and then we just beat the crap out of him and got him down.
Yeah, it was a lot of making sure we had the rotation for counter spells was pretty key, and making sure that those were getting counterspelled and wiping the remedy off him were critical, in addition to getting the tanks to collapse pre-green, or like just at the beginning of the green phase.
Yeah, for sure. Because if they collapse too early, then they're going to get like one-shotted. If they collapse too late, then you don't get enough AoE out. Yeah, it was a bit of fancy footwork from Fog and Shadow.
Exactly. And then after we crushed him, we moved to Cameron, which is hilarious. What a funny fight to not have to heal.
Thanks, ass.
Anything for you.
That... Honestly, I swear my healers and I have post-traumatic stress disorder stemming from that. It's one thing to sort of know going in that your entire raid is going to be dropped down to one health at various points in the raid.
It's another thing to see the bars.
Yeah. just completely go empty.
Oh
just
my
gone.
God. I remember seeing that on the side and being like, oh goodness.
Yeah, it was really not fun. Like, we basically panicked after the first pull. Like, the first hit, I think, hit Dayton, who's MTing it, for, like, 170,000 health or something ridiculous like that. And so immediately, like, one of our priests casts Guardian Spirit just to make sure. And she kept doing that for, the first five pulls until we basically all got the hang of the insane incoming damage. So that was, yeah, that was special for sure. We did get him down to like 40% though on our best attempt, and I think a lot of us have become a lot more familiar with the fight. Like, I think we understand the rhythm. Again, it's a rhythm thing, and I think that I'm going to switch things up when we go back in this week, and I'm going to try to use a sort of slime team. So basically, I'm going to have a couple people dedicated to just healing the people who have just been slimed and are at one health, and getting them up to 10k, and just having your general raid healers and then your general tank healers, but having like maybe two-ish healers who are just dedicated to healing that slime, because that really seems to be the big issue we're having.
Yeah, it is ridiculous just like watching the health bars and all of that stuff. It's an interesting fight, and I think it may be a lot of gear check as well there.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Like we tried to deal with six healers at first. That did not work. So we pulled in a seventh healer. Better, still not perfect. Like, I really should have just brought in the eighth healer right from the start and gone with that. Maybe we would have gotten a little bit further, but I think part of it's a gear check. I mean, I was constantly... And my Rusto Shammy Dar kept forgetting to drop Manatide. I'm like, great. That would explain why I'm completely oom. Thanks, Dar.
Sweet.
Yeah. But that was basically our raid week. We got one extra boss than we did the week before. We got, you know, Cameron down to 40%. And we went back and we killed everything that we did previously, which is really nice.
I assume we'll at least be seeing Cameron again this week.
Kind of thinking we might start off with him right after Magma and Omnitron.
Interesting thought.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Alright, that'll bring us over to the guild tab. Normally, this is where we talk with a guild member of Apotheosis about why they joined and, you know, you know, giving them the opportunity to talk about themselves and their tune and that sort of thing. But our special guest this week isn't in Apotheosis. So we're going to talk here with Fugara, the Guildmaster of Choice of Skywall, as we mentioned before. So we'll talk a little bit about her character history and her guild. So, Fu, why don't you tell us a little bit about your tune history?
Alrighty. Well, I was a rogue for a very, very long time, Hordeside Hyjal. Her name was Zippia, and I spent 3.5 years screwing around on her for the most part. Eventually, I joined a raiding team and cleared everything up to AQ-40. Then I decided to leave that guild. I gotta love officer drama. And I decided to leave that guild and reroll Alliance just to see the game from a different perspective. I rolled another rogue. This is before faction transfers and all that other stuff. So I rerolled another rogue on Skywall, human, and I joined a guild called She Said She Was Legal. And I slowly learned that Skywall has a lot of casual guilds. There isn't a lot of, I'd say, middle ground, I guess is the term, gotcha, I'm looking for. So there's a lot of hardcore raiders, I'd say, 2 or 3, maybe 4 guilds on the server are hardcore raiders. And from there on, it's all casual, wipe in your face, Anaxaramas kind of stuff. So I decided, hey, if you're going to do it, might as well do it right. I'm going to do it myself. I must have been drinking that day. Or smoking something funny, or whatever the case may be. I don't regret it. I re-rolled, I didn't re-roll, rather. I started Choice with 5 members from Hyjal and friends that I've had for a very long time. And we started building Choice from the ground up, which was wonderfully hard at the very beginning of an expansion. Luckily, Wrath was easy enough at the very beginning that it didn't take very long before we were, you know, in Nap. Thaddeus was our problem. We always have one of those bosses every expansion that loves us. And Thaddeus was it. And soon after, I realized that finding a Restive Shaman, you guys may know that, is very, very difficult. A good one.
Yeah.
And so I rerolled to Fugara. And I went in from Blues, from Quest Gear, right into Naxxramas and started healing. Fell in love with her. And the rest is history. I've been healing ever since.
Nice.
I had no idea that you had played not one, but 2 rogues.
Yeah. That was like before faction transfers and stuff. It was, that's what you had to do.
Yeah. You just had to re-roll.
All right. So how about your favorite memory in WoW, if you have one?
I have a lot of memories. I wouldn't necessarily call them favorites. I don't know if I actually have a favorite one. I think that the first Lich King kill was very awesome. We have a lot of good memories in Alduar, a lot of funny times, a lot of inside jokes formed there. We had a hell of a time in TOC. We hated that place. A lot of people hated that place, didn't want to go in there. So that's kind of a butt of a joke here in Choice. There's a lot of stuff when you're guilding for 2 years and you see people come and go and I don't think I have a specific favorite though.
What, so not like that new Holy Pally that you recruited who then like bopped Bonesy on Tusfergut?
Yeah, that one. I don't know, her very first raid when she came in and decided to do that.
Yeah.
Kind of facepalmed. I was like, we might have to reject this one. I don't know.
I didn't even know what had happened. I thought I had hit lay on hands. Apparently not.
Oops, I hit the wrong button.
Yeah, basically.
There's always, of course, the hodging.
The hodging is for the win. Yeah.
For some reason, you would always target me anytime you got mind controlled. You would run across an entire zone to do it.
Yeah, that's very true. I absolutely did.
And then Colwyn did it once, too, and that was, once or twice, actually.
He used to bop freaking Lady Death Whisper. Like, that's not cool.
That is not good.
Yeah.
Alright, normally this is where we ask you why you joined Apotheosis. So, why did you actually decide to, start Choice, from the ground up? What was it about either Skywall or your own raid experience that made you feel like you were not only capable, but like, you know, really willing to start a guild from the ground up?
I had no idea if I was capable or not, so I can tell you that. I really didn't know what I was doing. I definitely think that my previous raid experience had a lot to do with it. Like I said, we had officer drama in my very first raiding guild, so I didn't want to have that again. I didn't want to have favoritism in my guild. I wanted everything to be as diplomatic as possible. You know, cut down the line, very black and white. I'm a very black and white thinker, you may notice. You know, I wanted to, you know, cut that down. There was a yes or a no. You're either pregnant or not pregnant. You're either raiding or you're not raiding. And there's no, you know, in between for me there. So I had a very hard time dealing with those kind of things. You know, having good raiders sit just because, you know, I'm bringing in my best friend. That's not cool for me. You know, bad members misbehaving, getting problems, you know, and not problems, you know, rate of rewards, basically, for just being horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I became a GM, and I'm realizing this is a lot more political than it should be, you know, so I kind of lightened up in that direction. But I think that from what actually made me do it, really, was the desire to meet people, to experience people's personalities, to be the one that rewards people with the entertainment that they pay for. You know, people pay $15 a month, sometimes even more if they have several accounts, just to experience content. Some people experience, you know, want to pay for that rating. They want to pay for those purples. So, and this way, I get to do it. I get to give people that satisfaction.
That's a really neat... neat perspectives.
Yeah, I've got to say, it's probably not, that's probably the most unique reason that I've heard in a long time, which is really cool.
Yeah, you know, I also have my own social issues, so that helps a little bit. You know, it helps me to trust the people to do their job. It helps me to be able to make those friendships, long-lasting friendships, with people who have a common bond. And, we have a lot of that in choice.
You definitely have a lot of personalities in choice. I will definitely give you that.
We certainly do. And a lot of fist pumping.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to assume that's a good thing then.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. It's definitely enjoyable to have all these personalities and the joking and the fun. I mean, sometimes it gets a little out of hand and, you know, I got to slap some people around, but, you know, that's the worst
general
job.
Good times.
General good job. That's the worst part of my job for me is having to tell someone no or that's bad. That's really my hardest fault. And as a GM, you may know, Kern, that that's probably the hardest for, you know, part of this is telling someone they suck. You know, you need to do this better. You need to do that. I know that you love your page long explanations, all that other stuff. It's very hard for me to do that. And that's one thing I loved about you having there and helping me out and pointing out all these flaws out. Like, yeah, you're probably right here. Help me out with it.
Yeah, the whole, you know, continuing to cast during Cinder goes a hard mode and stuff. Yeah, I remember that quite well. or the bouncing around the Blood Prince Council. I remember that.
Oh, that was a bane of your existence for a while there. And, you know, that's the thing is, I think that your presence there, even though there was a lot of bitching and a lot of complaining about seeing it, you know, it actually snapped people into place. They don't realize it, but I know it. I notice it. I notice that they've become better players with the advice that they're getting, and it's helping. It's helping. We're doing really great in Cataclysm, so I'm excited. I just need some more recruits.
Yeah, so
the recruiting is always a good time.
Head on over to choiceguild.com and check out what they... what the application form's like, check out their rating schedule, all that stuff.
We want a Holy Pally.
Yes, Holy Pallies. Unfortunately, Apotheosis is full at the moment, but Choice is definitely open for Holy Pallies, and I have got to say that if I weren't stuck with Apotheosis,
thanks, buddy.
then I would have stayed on Skywall in Choice, and there would not be an opening for a Holy Pally, because I definitely really enjoyed my time there.
We miss you. I miss you too.
All right. Next question. What do you like to do in game besides raid?
I like to level, actually. I enjoy leveling. I don't have many alts because I don't have a lot of time to do that. I'm actually working on Holy Paladin right now.
Oh, how is your little Holy Pally doing?
She's 6 bubbles away from 85.
Holy cow.
Nice.
Yeah, and actually, you were mentioning how easy it is to level now. Between the guild perks and the BOA items, I went right through that.
Nice.
So I'm enjoying Rhett right now. I'm actually scared to start learning Holy, but I know where to go.
Holy is kind of horrifying right now, and it's so different from what it was in Wrath, and I felt like I knew my stuff when I was in Wrath. I feel like I still know it now, but you should see Cole, and he's doing this whole other thing that I'm not actually doing at the moment, and he's taking to it like a fish to water. It's kind of insane.
Healing is horrifying right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm having fun. It's challenging. I just think I need a little bit more oomph. I'm a Rester Shaman, so I need a little bit more oomph. Just a little bit more love. 10% to chain heal and 20% to greater healing wave. It's not gonna make a difference.
We keep asking them for things, and then they take them away. That's what seems to happen with us here.
I mean, it'll make a little bit of a difference, but I hope it makes them more useful.
Yeah, so that people actually do use chain heal and such.
It's our Jesus beams. That's what Rester Shamans are about. They're iconic, you know. Let us use them more. And, you know, at 7k mana pop, that's just ridiculous. Even with 170 k mana, it's still 7 rather, not 7.
Okay, yeah. So our quirky question, we generally have a fun question thrown in here. I wrote this specifically for you. This has been a question on my mind for many, many months, and I'm hoping that you can really enlighten me on this. Is there any particular method that you used on Heroic Lady Death Whisperer to absolutely ensure that you hexed me when you were mind-controlled? Because it happened every single attempt.
Well, just like you're hodging, I had absolutely no control over it. Maybe the game felt that, felt our bond, and made it such that we decided to CC each other on a regular basis. I don't know.
Yeah, every time that Fu got mind controlled, I knew that I either had to bubble hit every man or just hit her with Hammer of Justice before she got a cast off. Yeah, every single time. And she knew that if I got mind controlled, she knew to run.
And some of them were instant, too, because she used my Nature Swift. And I was like, oh, why did you use that button?
Yeah, good times, good times.
All right, I guess we'll move on along to our general chat, which we have an interesting topic. So you've figured out that you want to end game raid. You're not really sure what server you're going to raid on. You don't really care. You have the itch. It's time to start raiding. Now, you need to figure out how to get into the guild that you want to get into. A lot of work should really go into your decision and your application. And Fugue actually has a great list of these things that you should know and pay attention to. Karn, you want to kick off that list?
I just want to say that one of the reasons I applied to Choice was because I was so impressed with how Fugara had basically organized everything. I did a lot of reading before I apped, and then my app itself was, huge. It was really super long. I think I made people in the guild actually cry with how long my app was. But it was detailed. It gave answers to absolutely everything Fug was asking for. So I was going to be complete. And so when we were thinking about how to get into a guild that you want to get into, I mean, Fug here is a great recruiter and a great GM, and she's got, she knows her stuff. She's got all down pat, so she's got it all written out for you. I mean, you go to the Choice forums, and we'll put a link there. It's at choiceguild.com, but we'll put a direct link to the forums for you. And, I mean, you can see just, how step-by-step she wants you to know what you need to do in order to get into Choice. And, I mean, these are some, basic common sense things that everybody should do for any guild that they're apping to, not just choice, but of course any holy pally should app to choice. So
it's funny, right? Because absolutely, it's funny because even in the description of apping to guild, it's almost all of these you can take straight into real life as well. It's funny because a lot of these things are just general good things to know.
Yeah, like I mean, you can liken it to a job interview, really, and you know you need to do the research, you know, before you go apply for a job. You need to do your research on the company, on the position, and all that stuff. And so you go in. You never go in completely unprepared. And throwing up an app in a guild forum or whatever without reading all the stuff, yeah, it's going to end up with you not getting the position or not getting the job or what have you. And that's basically the first point that Boog points out. She wants us to always, always read the documentation provided for you on the website. And she encourages us not to skip this step because it's a wall of text. Read it in stages if you have to. It's awesome.
If you don't have a strong will.
Yeah, basically if you're not Kern.
Yeah, pretty much.
And she encourages you to you know, be thorough in your reading, because it says here that too many times we've seen folks that have said they read everything they could, only later to ask what days and times we raid in 25 mans, which is clearly listed on the application itself. So, you know, you really need to read this stuff that they put out. Like, Fug, why don't you explain a little bit why you put so much documentation out there for people?
Because people are people. They're rushing, as Magic said, to get in and raid and experience content that sometimes they skip over some of the most obvious, like pick up the manual and read it kind of crap. So you know, I put a lot of loopholes in things, I won't lie, and I want you to catch those, to understand them, and to see why we're doing what we're doing and how we actually work. So those are why those are up that way. And like I said, read them in stages if you have to, because it's important you know that stuff. You know, I still have raiders. Actually, we were just talking about this during the break, that you still ask me what time we raid, you know, after being here for 6 months. And, you know, you can tell that guy didn't raid that.
Yep, that's very true.
You can tell that guy didn't raid it, so. Yeah, that's why it's a...
It shouldn't be too hard. If you're really interested and you're really doing your research, you should be interested in absolutely everything this guild has to say. You should want to know their rules backwards and forwards, just because it's going to give you the leg up on anyone else who's apping and anyone in the guild who may not have done all the research that you have.
Exactly. And, yeah, you know, if you want to be in the guilds, you need to know, especially if there's like little loopholes, like how many times you can miss signups, what your raid requirements are. Those things are very important to making a good first impression in a raid. You know, people are watching you. You know, make sure that you brush your hair.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, the second point on Fug's list is before you apply, it's always wise to make sure you look your best. Like, you don't go to a job interview dressed in pajamas. So you basically really need to, you know, brush up your character. Make sure your character in your armory profile shows that you are in your PvE gear, or, you know, you might be applying to a PvP guild. So, you know, whatever gear set is appropriate to the type of guild you're looking to join. But you definitely want to make sure that you're gemmed, enchanted, and your character's up to par. Make sure that you know what they're looking for, right? I mean, how many times, Fug, have you seen, you know, people showing up in, you know, greens and, you know, expecting to jump into hard mode heroic content?
Many. Unfortunately, many, many, many. And this gets to probably next to your next 2 points. And, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know how to gem, who don't know how to enchant. I don't even mind if you show up in greens and blues. If you're, you know, stacking your stats correctly, if you're doing those right things, your talents look good, your glyphs look good, and you've got something to back that up. Especially now in Cataclysm, when you don't have, you know, a lot of people aren't just raiding yet, you know, or they're not quite there, but they want to be in a month, you know, and they come out with, you know, heroic gears, 346s, whatever. And They don't have any gems in their gear. There's no head enchant. There's no shoulder enchant. There's none of that stuff. I'm going to turn around and laugh at you.
Yeah, yeah. Before I let anybody raid, I insisted on the honor Therizane shoulder enchant at a minimum.
At a minimum.
Okay. Yeah. And then, like, tomorrow, well, today, January 18th, on Tuesday, basically, if you are not exalted with Therizane and you don't have the exalted, or you're a scribe, but if you don't have the exalted enchant on your shoulders, you're not going to get into a raid until you do get exalted. And it's like, I've given these people, like, 3 weeks' notice, basically, and there's still a couple people in the guild who aren't, you know, exalted with Therizane.
Whoop-dee-doop.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just like, I don't understand, and, you know, I don't mean to mock people or, you know, what have you, but it's a little frustrating because, like, you put out the rules, yeah, you hope people read the rules, and then it's clear that either they didn't read the rules or they didn't care.
Yeah, and yeah. That's the worst part, because, hey, you say you want to raid, you've had 3 months to tell me whether or not you're going to main switch or not, you have 3 months to tell me whether or not you're quitting playing, and you know the first week of raiding is not the time to tell me that you're unprepared. So I did the same thing that you did: evaluations, looking over raider gear, making sure people had at least a minimum my level of heroic gear, their gem slots in there, and yeah, professions were used to the utmost capabilities and whatnot. So it's you've got to do it if you want to do it. You've got to do it. And, follow the rules of your guild.
Absolutely.
You know, most good guilds will have this all laid out for you.
And if they don't, then, well, you know, reconsider applying to Choice.
ChoiceGuild.com. Right. Yes. Apply to ChoiceGuild.com, please.
Let's see. Going on from the whole they don't know how to gem, they don't know how to enchant, Fugue spends a lot of time talking about, you know, how you know what is best for you. Like, do you actually know, or are you really just reading a web page and going, oh, so Kern told me that holy pallies do this. Okay, I will do that. Yeah, you know, you need to understand the logic behind the gem choices, behind the enchants, behind the stat priorities. You really need to understand why, for example, it's really important for Resto Shamus to have a good chunk of spirit on them, even if their own mana regen is already, you know, sufficient. It's, you know, because their mana tide totem for the entire raid is going to be based on their spirit. So, you know, you have to understand what goes into making these decisions. And, you know, it's really easy for any guild officer to call you out on you not knowing your stuff.
Yeah, especially in the interview when they're asking, where are your references? And they give, obviously, the first thing anyone says is EJ. It's Elite Districts. It is almost the stock answer for some reason. Or I guess just because the amount, there is some great information on there. But then they follow up with a question, well, do you believe that that's what's going on, or why do they say that? Well, if you don't have an answer for that, then it's pretty obvious you haven't done enough research, even though you may have read, you know, one website.
Yeah, and Fugue's got a lot of interesting info here about, like, you know, don't necessarily worry about matching your socket bonus. Like, what are you really trying to stack, and does that socket bonus help you or not help you, you know, in that goal? It's all about understanding what you're doing to your gear, why you're doing it to your gear, and how that's going to help you in, you know, a raid situation. You know, I'm sure Fugue's got some stories about people who you know, just consistently refer back to, well, because it's the best. Why is it the best, right?
And it certainly isn't the best anymore. A lot of stuff has been slowly updated or not updated at all, and you have to dig for that information on EJ. I love EJ, don't get me wrong, but it takes a little while for them to do the theory crafting and the math. But my biggest suggestion for someone who's trying to learn their class and learn what they're trying to do and what they're gearing for is to read the friggin' tooltips. Read the tooltips of your spells, of your talents, of your, you know, your mastery. Read them. And they're very easy to figure out what you need to do from there, you know? You don't even need fancy websites if you're a smart player.
Yeah, and something that I always fall into the trap of, I automatically I found in the past that I automatically assume that a talent that was good beforehand will still be good. No, not the case. I've been screwed over like that on my Hunter. When I think Wrath came out, I was like, resisting, changing a talent out. And I'm like, no, but this was so good. This is such a good talent. But no, they changed the talent. The talent name was the same. Talent icon was the same. It was even in the same place in the damn tree, but it was a completely reworked talent. I don't even remember what it was. But like this is the sort of thing that you have to be aware of. Like just because, a talent was good, 6 months ago doesn't mean it's good any longer. And you really need to be familiar with your class and your talents and your spells and all of your abilities, including your passives that you get when you actually spec something.
It's also, especially when you're talking about websites, you never know. When you're talking about EJ, it's a pretty easy place to say, well, they're consistently decent information, but who knows where else you're going? Let's say you're going to a blog where you find it's you enjoy reading them and they're giving you information, but the information is wrong, or it's a
Oh,
little
yeah.
bit outdated, or they're just not good. I mean, some people that play poorly could easily have blogs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. So we actually had a holy priest, or actually he was a desk priest at the time, and he insisted on spamming Renew and Flash Heal because he read something on some sort of site that said that it was an experimental spec and it heals more than this and that. I don't remember the exact details, but he was so insistent on doing it, so bad that eventually we had to move him down to friends and family just because he was so resistant to getting help, to listening to the leaders and fixing the problems he was having.
Would this perchance be the priest that kept dying on the Syndergaza fight?
No, it wasn't Hilltop.
Oh,
Nice.
Did you see he abs again?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
No.
Negatory. So another thing that you really want to see when you're receiving an app, like as an officer, is that you're actually answering all of the questions that are being asked. How many times do people just skip questions? They're not optional, people. I mean, Fook says, let's be very clear, we don't ask all these questions because we have nothing better to do than waste your time. Now, this is very true. Not, like, we're asking the questions because we want to know the answers. Don't just leave them blank.
I get that. I get that a lot with my World of Logs question. People pretend like they don't know what the hell it is, and they leave it blank. Or, my previous guilds question also. Yeah, the stuff that gets a little tricky for certain folks who don't know how to stay in guild.
Yeah, guild hoppers especially. Like I don't have something like that, although I was considering it in the beginning. But I really like what you have with your app there, where you basically have people go to what is it, Warcraft Realms, and pull up all of their characters' histories, and then you actually are asked to explain every guild that you're in. Like you're asked to give a full character history. I think that that's what took me like 45 minutes to do, because I'd been in several guilds, and by golly, I was going to give you every bit of information I
About
could.
every single one.
Hey, it's all good. I needed that information.
Exactly. And I didn't want to be not forthcoming about information that was asked of me. And I didn't want to be caught later on, going, oh, well, you didn't tell us about this whole other guild on this server. And like, because there are gaps in these timelines, right? Like if you leave anything out, people are going to be able to like figure that out. And
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a fantastic recruitment tool. I think I tried to get away with it and I got vetoed, but I might try to actually bring that back in now that we're actually
Why
raiding
did you get
soon.
vetoed?
Because there are certain officers in my guild who really dislike the long ass app form we currently have, and that would have just added to it. And I'm like, you don't even need to really read it if it's someone who's not like, one of your class charges basically. My melee officer, Day, hates looking at apps. And I'm like, that's okay. If it's a caster, you don't need to pay attention to it. If it's a tank, you don't need to pay attention to it. And he's like, yeah, I know. It's just, I would never fill that out myself. And I'm like, well, then it's a really good thing that you didn't have to fill that out now, isn't it?
Yeah. There you go. Problem solved.
He also tries to encourage us to slash roll, like, at least 3 or 4 times in an expansion. He'll be like, just slash roll it. Like, that's how we should do loot, just slash roll. And, he gets shot down every single time. But one of these days, I'm afraid that people are just going to be like, yeah.
See, I'll be excited to second that one.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I have power to veto.
I didn't build that into my constitution or what have you.
Yeah. Like I said, I have some loopholes.
Yeah, I need to talk with you about these loopholes, clearly.
I don't know about that.
They're not unfair. I definitely try to be diplomatic and reasonable when I can be. Especially because we're considered a semi-hardcore guild. We're middle rung. We're trying to shoot for that, but, not at the expense of breaking ourselves or ignoring real life and our wives and husbands and children. You know, in cages and on leashes. with dog bowls. Nice.
Not quite
buckets
there.
To pee in. We don't want to do that. So, I have to make sure that I'm fair about it, but I'm firm. There are certain things that won't happen because it's against the vision of my point of a guild, why I want to do that.
And I assume all these are indeed written out in the website, or on the website, rather, which is guild. 100%. Goes right back.
We have several guild charters, actually. And Madrona helped me with this. We split them up into 3. Your guild charter, your loot charter, and your raid charter. The guild charter describes the history and the basic rules, like, no homophobic or racial jokes, and no troll and trade chat, and all that other stuff. Then your loot charter explains, EPGP, how it works, the ins and outs of the mod, several situational questions and answers, so that people can get it through there. And then the raid roster explains everything that you need to know about raiding and the raid requirements, what we do and how we do it, and the disciplinary actions that come from screwing with my plans.
You do not want to be on the Unfood's bad side. I'm just going to say that, right? Don't.
I am a bastard. I am a bastard about raid signups, particularly. People actually have called me a fascist about it. That's the one thing that stops me from planning a raid. If I do not know if you're coming, or if you decide last minute you'd rather go to a strip club or watch puppies being born, and yes, I've had that as an excuse. I can't come to raid tonight. My friend's having some puppies, and I want to watch it. It's kind of cool. And, maybe it is, but you've made previous commitments and be dedicated to that. Do what you say you will do.
Absolutely. That's definitely good advice for anybody who wants to join a raiding guild of any kind. Like, people are relying on you. It's like a team sport. You need to be there for the team. Like, even if there's no loot for you, even if, you don't need any DKP or EP or whatever, like, be there for the team. I think I missed, one raid while I was raiding with Joyce? Maybe two?
One,
something like that?
One for internet. And one for grandma, I do believe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember it. Wow. See, I packed it in the back of my head.
She's good. She's good. So I definitely would recommend that, you are able to meet the requirements, the reading requirements, the attendance requirements that any guild you're applying to, requires. You need to keep up to date on your application. This is something that drives me crazy, and I know it drives Food crazy. When you, drop in an app, and then you just don't come back, and, people have actually taken the time to read your app as mal-written? Poorly written. I think I can't speak today.
Yeah, let's go with poorly.
As poorly written as it may be, or, as incomplete as it may be, people took the time to sit there and go through it and ask you questions about it, or ask you to comment on things, or expand on something. And there's nothing more annoying than to sit there and, refresh your guild forums every so often and see that there's still no response. I mean, like, what do you even do with that food at that point?
At that point, I ignore them. I mean, you don't care, neither do I. I've had a particular lot of holy paladins that seem to love to do that. you know, because we're trying to require people to show World of Logs. If you have the ability to use this, and it's very, very easy. There's a walkthrough. Actually, you wrote it. And, you know, there's a walkthrough for it. It's very easy to do. It's free. Show me what you've been able to do before, particularly for transfers. I like to see what I'm getting myself into. We're saving each other time and money if you're not worth it, you know? So, that's the question that gets skipped the most. You know, and that I usually say, okay, well, reply back, show me this, and when you do, I'll talk to you. And they never show back up. It's usually my my derp-de-derp filter.
Nice.
How long do you tend to let an app just sort of stagnate there?
Not very long. I mean, if they come back a week later, I may consider it, but I keep recruiting. I keep recruiting until that spot's filled, you're in the guild, you're tagged.
Right.
So, you know, if you're taking forever, then yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, check back often on your app. Like, people are going to be trying to get a hold of you. They are going to want details. And, you know, if you're applying to more than one guild, there's nothing wrong with coming back to a guild that you app to and saying, I'm sorry to have wasted your time. I've chosen to go in another direction, but thank you very much for your time. Right. Like, you'd never want to burn a bridge. I mean, if you app to the guild, chances are you liked what you saw. And if things don't work out elsewhere, then you might want to come back someday. So, like, don't burn a bridge. Apologize for wasting people's time. And just say, you know, I'm very sorry. And be honest and upfront about things. Like, I can't express that enough.
Yeah, and they really need to come back. If you care, come back. I actually had a priest do that recently, who you remember Saints.
Mm-hmm.
He previously apped, I'd say, mid-ICC. And real life happened, whatever. And he remembered me trying to recruit him from that time. So he came back. He's like, yeah, you know, I remember seeing this awesome guild. And I decided to try again. And, you know, he let us know, of course, at the time that in real life stuff was happening and that he had to pull his app and all that other stuff. So that helped, you know. I don't mind doing that. Once the spot reopened, of course, and he saw it and he came on over. And he's a great priest. I love having him.
That's excellent. Yeah, I mean, like, always bear in mind that every time you toss in an app, you are starting to forge a relationship with the people on the other side of the app. And, I mean, we're not these scary, you know, creatures most of the time.
Not those WoW freak jerks.
and you know, we're human just like you, and we want to get to know you. We want, like, that's Foob's reason for, you know, having a guild. She wants to get to know people. I just want to kill things. But
well, I mean, it's partial to both. I mean, there's lots of reasons I do it. But yeah, you know, give me something to go off of.
Exactly. You know,
just don't say, I'm a holy paladin and know how to play.
Yeah, that won't get that definitely won't get you very far in choice, because I do troll their forums every so often, and I will write to
she
you about apps.
She rips apart our holy paladin. I mean, in fact, I went. It was funny because you found Meta's reforging of his haste to hit accidentally before I did.
Well, I was curious. I wanted to see what this holy paladin was like, and I,
so
I
could
decided.
Even reasonably be as cool as Karn.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
It's a large shoes to fill right there.
Exactly.
And I wrote something about Officer in it, and of course they made fun of you for socking our holy paladin.
Well, did they really expect anything different? I can't imagine that they did.
No. Of course not.
Let's see what else here. Vent interviews or mumble interviews. If you're going to show up for an interview, if your guild in fact requires such an interview, because not everyone does, but, you know, if you've got an in-game interview or a voice chat interview, you need to be on time. You know, preferably like 5 minutes early, and then you wait patiently for them to come to you and be like, okay, we're ready. Like, don't be like 20 minutes late. People have stuff to do. I mean, Foog has a raid in like 40 minutes, and she's here podcasting with us. So imagine if we had been late in getting this started, then she might have had to leave early or might have been late for a raid. So, you know, it's all about respecting the people whose time you're taking up. And again, like Magic was saying earlier, that it's you know, these are good life lessons. You don't, you know, let your friend wait 25 minutes for you, like, when you're meeting for dinner, do you? And I kind of hope not.
And you show up to a real interview early. There's no reason to be late. If you're apping and you're very serious about getting into this guild, you need to make sure you realize what program they're using, because I guess most guilds are actually running Vent at this point. But for example, Mumble maybe takes a little bit of time to set up, so make sure you're going into it, and even if it is Vent, setting up Vent early, making sure you have the right server going and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, if you can't make it, Fug says, you know, if an emergency occurs where you cannot make it, contact the officer who's scheduled to do your interview with you and make sure that they know why and what happened. You know, just like even if it's 5 minutes ahead of time, like, you know, just shoot them a note or something. Just contact them and let them know, because that will reflect really well on you. I had a rogue app when we were actually doing recruitment before Acata launched. And, you know, he had a microphone issue, and then, like, he had a phone call from, like, a college recruiter, and, like, he PM'd me on our forums to tell me all this. And I'm like, no problem, that's cool, we'll reschedule. And we rescheduled, and he's in the guild. So, I mean, like, we won't hold that against you. What we will hold against you is just bailing. Don't do that.
Yeah, that can almost just straight up get you... get your app tossed out. That is, like, really insulting in more than one way.
Absolutely.
And finally, once you actually get into the guild, you probably have some sort of a trial period. A lot of guilds have that. I know I do. I know Fug does over in Choice. So, you know, be nice, you know? Be nice to your guildmates. Say hi. Be personable. Don't be overly obnoxious. Don't be a know-it-all. Nobody likes know-it-all.
Yeah.
You know, this is why people don't like me. But
no, that's you wanna hear a name that taunts you back? Do you remember It Came First?
Oh dear, sweet lord!
That was one of the biggest know-it-alls I have ever played with in this game. And
did you say? Did you say I came first?
No.
I've missed you, Fug.
I missed you too.
Nice.
Oh god.
Anyway, that is absolutely the last thing anyone wants to hear is, oh, of course you're doing it wrong. Come on now. You don't know these people necessarily, or it takes time to get to know people and
exactly.
Do so.
Yeah, like take a few minutes and go do a run that you didn't necessarily plan on doing. Although I'm not sure I did very often in Choice. In a previous guild, they somehow coaxed me to go do a 9-man undying Naxx run at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, sure, what the hell? Yeah, we died on Kel'Thuzad, which was really unfortunate. But yeah, like, you know, so like do something a little bit outside of your comfort zone just to sort of get to know people and get to, you know, especially if you can do it in a smaller sort of venue, so you can sort of get to know the people that you're going to be reading with. I find that really important myself, and it really goes a long way towards, you know, especially in a guild like Choice or Apotheosis, where, you know, your guildies will have a say in whether or not you get to stick around.
But we don't do that anymore.
Well, yeah, not a direct say. Like, you guys used to have, like, an actual voting thing. Yeah, we don't do that either. But, like, there is a forum where people can talk and will talk about you. And, you know, that's going to really help the officers influence, or it'll really influence the officers into making a decision one way or the other. So, you know, be nice to the people that you're going to be raiding with, you know? Nobody likes a know-it-all. Nobody likes someone being obnoxious. Make a good first impression when you're actually in guild.
Amen.
Alrighty, I guess that brings us to our shout-outs for the week. My shout-out is to Fug for being a champ and agreeing to do the podcast at the very last minute, and basically also for showing me how to be a good GM. I basically had a decent idea of how to do it previously, but then being in Choice and getting to see Fug basically in her element really sort of motivated me, and really I'm sort of trying to be as Fugara-like as I can. So thank you, Fug. And I'd also like to shout out to Choice for letting me hang out with them for the last bit of Wrath. It was an amazing place to be while I organized all the Apotheosis stuff, and I really enjoyed my time there.
Yes. My shout out this week goes to Fog, who we originally actually asked to make the podcast, but he said he couldn't make it. But then he said he could, but he had actually been then shut out by our guest for the evening, Fugue. Yes, Fog, way to go. You're the best. Way to give us our great guest for the evening. Thank you, Fog.
Exactly. Thanks, Fog.
Thank you.
So, Fugue, do you have any shout-outs?
Well, I'm really bad at this, but I do want to shout-out to my guildies. I love you guys very, very much, even though sometimes I have a hard time showing it. And I thank you for making this the best experience of my life outside of having children.
Awesome. That's nice. Quite the shout-out. Wow. All right, so our tip of the week this week is pretty much a summary of today's show. Know what's expected of you when you apply to a guild, and make sure you meet or preferably exceed those expectations if you want to make a good impression. We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share or any feedback you might have, email us at blessingoffrost@apotheosis-now.com. Let us know what you thought. You can also follow Apotheosis and myself on Twitter. Follow @ApotheosisET and @Kernmoog. Leave comments and rate us up on iTunes, please. Fugara, would you like to plug anything there?
Oh, absolutely. Go to www.choice.com. If you are a Death Knight, a Druid of some sort, a Rogue, or an Enhancement Shaman. Oh, and a Holy Paladin.
Holy Paladins. Choice.
Looking for some melee DPS, it sounds like.
Yeah, a little bit. We're a little range heavy, so looking for some melee.
Sweet. We'll have a link to that on the show notes.
Definitely. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of our 7th episode. I'm Kern.
I'm Fugara.
And I'm Magic.
Until next time, stay frosty. Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.